Governor Dennis Dugard presented his budget for fiscal year 2015 at the state capitol on Tuesday. The proposal includes bigger-than-expected spending increases for schools and health care. The governor's budget gives a 3% increase for K-12 education and technical institutes. He's also calling for a 2.6% increase for universities, which includes a freeze in tuition rates for in-state on-campus students. The governor is also proposing to fund a number of special projects with one-time state funds and other monies. He's calling for more money to fight pine beetles and for tax refunds for the elderly. He's asking for money for the Watertown Armory and for funding to finish construction on a new state vet's home. The final say on the governor's budget is up to lawmakers, who will get into the details during the upcoming legislative session. Joining us to discuss the budget is South Dakota's chief financial officer and commissioner of the state's Bureau of Finance and Management, Jason Dilges. Commissioner, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate you having me today.
Well, I'd like to start simply by asking how the governor's budget proposals come together. Is it a matter of looking at forecasts, how much money will be coming in, and then what programs and projects need to be funding and trying to find a balance?
Exactly. It is a balance. And certainly we things started off a little slow for us in putting this particular budget together. We had quite a few economic signals that were not pointing very favorably in the state's direction last fall as we started to put this together, but we had some very favorable developments, specifically some of the unclaimed property that came to the state of South Dakota that enabled us to move in some very positive directions. And then through some, looking outside the box and some other creative types of approaches, we were able to use some one-time funds to free up some ongoing money and therefore make the move up to the 3%, as you noted in your introduction. So the process really has changed quite a bit from one that looked pretty bleak in September to one now that looks fairly positive. And so we're very happy that the governor was able to propose the increases that he was able to on Tuesday, and we feel very good about the direction in which our economy really is headed today.
Now, the reports on the money from the unclaimed receipts, that came in, what, as late as November?
Yes, the deadline for those banks that remit unclaimed property to the state was November 1st, and so we didn't receive word until shortly thereafter that we would be receiving the sums of money that we did.
So then there was the quick kind of, did you have to just go through the whole budget then and move things around a little bit?
We had really proposed several alternatives to the budget depending on, where things were headed. And so we were able to, in fairly short order, come up with some alternatives that took into consideration the windfall that we saw, but many of the areas in which we were prepared to make recommendations really ended up changing. So it was kind of a last-minute change, but something that we were able to accomplish. And it, because it was a favorable development, it's something that the governor really wanted to incorporate into his budget. It turned out that it was a little bit more complex and complicated than what you probably have noticed in prior budgets, but it really required some creativity to be able to offer those kinds of recommendations and really look at paying down some of the state's liabilities, which freed up enough money to make the 3% doable.
Was that creativity related to, in the past, Governor Dugard has said that he won't spend one-time money on ongoing expenses, but here with this unexpected windfall, you sort of planning on paying off some bonds and moving some of the money from around with Building South Dakota. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how that all worked.
Sure, good point. The governor has accentuated his principles as far as what he believes ongoing revenues to the state and one-time revenues to the state should be handled and treated. We have also in the past done a lot of one-time increases for schools and healthcare and our providers, and we heard loudly that they would just as soon see those ongoing dollars so that they can program those into their long-term budget goals. And so we really looked at, you know, were there ways in which we could use some of this one-time windfall to be able to reduce some of the state's obligations and thus free up some ongoing dollars. And really that's the essence of the proposals that the governor laid out. The first is pre-funding the Building South Dakota Economic Development Initiative using an upfront sum of $30 million, which provides, I think, a little bit more certainty to that program. And lined up dollars for several years to come, and then also paying down state liabilities in terms of bonds that were outstanding. When we build facilities or engage in construction, a lot of times we'll borrow money to do that, and this opportunity for us would be to prepay like you would on a mortgage, and be able to free up the money that you've been making your mortgage payments with and do other kinds of things with that. And so we were fortunate enough to have enough one-time money to be able to convert really that one-time into ongoing monies, and then that was the basis of the recommendations to get to the 3% for education and providers. And so, yeah, that little bit of creativity, I think, will pay good dividends. It'll free up some ongoing money, but then also we'll save about $13 million in future interest and fee savings on some of that debt. We're earning about 1.1% on our money. As all of us would know that have savings accounts or CDs, the yield isn't very good right now on some of those instruments, and so we felt like taking some of that money, using that to pay down higher interest rate obligations the state has, would be a good fiduciary move on our part. And so as trying to be the best stewards of the taxpayers' dollars, that really seems to pay dividends, not only in saving money, but reprogramming ongoing dollars into very key and targeted areas.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with South Dakota's Chief Financial Officer and Commissioner of the State's Bureau of Finance and Management, Jason Dilges. We're discussing the governor's budget proposal for fiscal year 2015. He announced that at the state capitol on Tuesday. Commissioner, wondering about this source of one-time money. As you mentioned, this is mostly the unclaimed property receipts that were bigger than expected. Why were they so much more than what was anticipated?
We've actually, Carl, seen a couple of things that have taken place that have resulted in these larger unclaimed property receipts. And the listeners out there may be thinking, well, what is unclaimed property? And really, it traditionally has been the money that cannot be identified or we cannot source to individuals, and so it's transferred to the state treasurer's office, and he really tries to find the rightful owners of that property. And in the past, it's been things like a closed savings or checking account or a refund that would be due to an individual, and they're not able to track down that individual. What's happened in recent years is we've had banks that have located their home offices to South Dakota, and so with that has brought both national and international customers where that bank's not been able to identify the owners of property that has been abandoned. And as a result of those large banks locating their home offices, all of that unclaimed property is due to the state for which they have the home office. And so we were the beneficiary of all of that money. Secondarily, the state engaged in a piece of legislation 2 years ago that changed the dormancy time period for which unclaimed property is deemed to be fully dormant and transferred over to the state from 5 years to 3 years. And so the combination of those two events fell in this particular fiscal year that we're in now, the result of which is that we got 5-year-old, 4-year-old, and 3-year-old property, as well as the benefit of the consolidation of those banking interests into South Dakota. The two of those resulted in almost $125 million coming into the state treasurer's office. We believe that we'll refund about $3 million of that, resulting in about $122 million that would go to the state's general fund. And then for next year, that amount, because we won't have the 5- and 4-year-old property, will settle into about $67.5 million per year that will be coming to South Dakota. as far back as 1997, we had only collected about $400,000 from that particular revenue source. So that's a fairly significant growth in that particular revenue source for the state. I think it also is a testament, though, to South Dakota's pro-business climate in that these large banks decided that South Dakota was a good place to locate their home offices, and so the ancillary benefit for us has been that unclaimed property. And so that enabled the governor to make those recommendations looking at and utilizing the projected dollars that would come from the unclaimed property. So a great development for South Dakota.
But not necessarily something that, you, as you mentioned, this was a big windfall this year, and as the that new law settles in, this isn't something we can rely on in future years.
One of the things, Carl, and that's a good point, that we really need to be cognizant of is how much of this is going to recur from year to year so that we don't violate the principles of building ongoing spending with one-time money. And so if you recall, I mentioned that we'll receive about $122 million this year. That cuts itself essentially in half go forward. And so our ongoing amount of money that would come from this revenue source that we're projecting in the 15 budget is $67.5 million. And so one might say, well, we should just plan on getting $122 a year. That's not the case. And you're right, we have to do a good job of projecting so as to not spend more than what ultimately is going to come in.
How big is the state's budget reserve, and how much of that is the governor willing to spend?
Yeah, good question. And we had made it through the bad times of the recession in South Dakota with a balance of about $107 million in our rainy day funds. In the last two fiscal years, we've ended with balances going into the rainy day funds of $48 and $24 million, respectively. And so we've grown that fund balance with some transfers out up to about $159 million today. Governor Dugard proposed using just under $20 million of that to help pay down some of those liabilities, those bonds that we talked about earlier. And so one of the things that he has looked at is really what should an appropriate level of reserves be for state government. Our other local units of government, our cities, our counties, school districts, traditionally carry quite a bit higher level of rainy day fund balances, whether it be somewhere in the 20 to up to almost 50% reserve. But the governor is saying or suggesting that a 10% reserve might be a target for us to utilize. And so even after the almost $20 million that he's proposing to use to buy down our bonds, we'd still have a little more than 10% available as monies that in an emergency or a rainy day we could tap. But that is one of the components of the governor's one-time funding proposals, is to use about $20 million of reserves to use to pay down some of those liabilities.
Now, the rainy day fund, is that used for situations like the early fall blizzard that hit the Black Hills?
It could be if there were needs out there and public infrastructure that needed attention and financial resources needed to be dedicated. That certainly could be one of the eligible areas. In the past, we've used it on things such as the Missouri River flood in 2011. Fighting of the pine beetle epidemic in the Black Hills, and then this proposal to pay down debt that we have, bonds that we have of almost $20 million. Those all are suggested ideas that we've utilized in the past in terms of using some of the state's one-time rainy day funds.
Now that the governor has made his budget proposal, the lawmakers will likely make some changes during the session. I'm wondering, Commissioner Gill, just how closely do you and others in the governor's office work with the legislature as they develop their own budget ideas?
Well, the work really gets started here. We've obviously been working on the budget since September, and this is really the starting point of what the budget deliberations and the discussions will be. We'll literally, my office will spend the entire legislative session working with lawmakers, hopefully convincing them that Governor Dugard's proposals are the ones that they should agree with and sign into law. Understanding that the governor has proposed a plan that he believes is a positive plan for our state to go down. He's always been willing to be open and listen to other ideas during a legislative process, and we certainly welcome those ideas and dialogue as we work our way through the legislative session. But I think we're off to a really good start. I think that this budget is a responsible approach to using the taxpayer dollars as effectively as we can. It sets our state on a positive course for the future. It doesn't overspend monies or program monies that we don't have. It avoids raising taxes. And I think it offers the possibility for more prosperous growth of our state in the coming years. And so certainly it's the first step. It's not the last, but we'll sure be working hard during the session to hopefully convince legislators that this is a good direction for our state to go.